Welcome home. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, getting you ready for the football game this week, as well as the baseball offseason. There is no offseason. They're playing baseball all day, every day this week. So you're tuning in. If you're looking for the Blue Jays or the Mariners, they're on bye week here for a little while, and the Ravens get ready for the Houston Texans. We're going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday, giving away Ravens scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. Also at Costas in Timonium on Monday. I am wearing my State Fair in Catonsville shirt because I have a Cobb salad and delicious Parmesan-encrusted salmon in my fridge right now. I stopped by Catonsville on Monday night for a little bit of food. And, you know, Luke, I stopped in State Fair on Monday night, and two games were on at the same time, the football games. And I looked up and I saw the Bengals logo and I saw the Dolphins jerseys in the orange. And I'm like, what are the Bengals doing wearing? What is that? And then I realized, oh, that's the Dolphins. And I'm like, they don't have a logo on their helmet, or at least if they do, I can't see it. So I did have that at State Fair. The food was better than the football was, certainly on Monday night. But you spent Monday afternoon, probably your last trip until opening day, to the warehouse. I don't know. Maybe they'll have some special press conferences here this offseason. But there was a press conference on Monday. You had told me all weekend, well, Elias is speaking on Monday. Elias is speaking on Monday. And I said, when? You said noon. So noon on Monday, I made my time, and I do what every journalist who's ever been banned from the Baltimore watches online. They actually sound worked for their press conference on Monday. So thumbs up there to Greg Bader and his group, and Katie, of course. Thumbs down for the post game in Kansas City on Sunday that did not work. I was stunned to see Mancelino do a half an hour press conference before Elias spoke. He doesn't have a job. He's not the manager anymore. I just found the whole thing, including Stan Charles standing up in the middle. I didn't even know he's a real media member anymore. I saw everybody there, but real media members. I saw Molesky. I saw Stan. People that aren't on the radio, don't in the newspaper. Like, I'm like, and the questions that are asked when it's Stan Charles says, well, we got, and I'm thinking, that's how you get in the press conference. You call the team we. I watched it from the outside. I haven't seen a lot of these wrap up season ending. I'm looking around for Steve Bisciotti to show back up. Yeah, he used to show up for these things. But the leadership part of this being the leadership thing that they do after a last place year, attendance is down a half a million. They're clearly going to hire a manager, so they put the old manager out to say, maybe, maybe not. We'll talk about it later. I just found the whole thing to just be strange. I don't even know what else to say other than the bouja that they give you in the performative, as you say. You get in the car in Pennsylvania, drive down there, you know it's all bouja, and yet you go and the fans tune in. A few of us, I guess, put on the live stream at noon. They didn't have it on Masson. They have a television network dedicated to the baseball team, and they have the only press conference they're going to have, and they don't put it on. I just found all of it to be strange, and I don't know that we learned anything other than what you and I talk about, which is they've got a lot of young players that they're as unsure about as we are.
Look, in the interest of fairness, I'm not sure what you can say after a season like that that's really truly going to make anyone feel meaningfully better, but
But that
because
is the goal of it.
Sure, but again,
The goal is to provide clarity, maybe
what did
more
you
than.
hope? I guess what did you hope to hear? And I don't mean you individually, although you're welcome to answer. What did you really hope to hear that he might actually
Dude, I
say?
don't know
You
why
know what
I
I
put these
mean?
press conferences on other than to talk to you about it the
I mean,
day after so we can have some clarity. Because to your point is they're kind of worthless, even though you attend them. They expect the fans to watch them. Most of the fans don't. I mean, I'm talking about a press conference that only the hardest of hardest core Oriole fans will tune in live to or ever go back to take a half an hour. I'm wondering whether I'm going to stop an hour on my radio in the middle of infirmary week here with the Texans to even run it. Do like people even care what Mike Elias has to say? And I know I don't care much about what Mancelino says because I don't believe he's going to be the manager. And I don't think, and I've said this for 4 months, I just don't think he shows well. I don't know what else to say. It feels like a JUCO baseball. It feels like the Dundalk Community College baseball coach is speaking to me. I know he's a good baseball man. I knew his dad a little bit. Like, I'm not pissing on him. I just don't think this is the look that they need at this point. And I don't know what the look they need is. We talk about Buck Showalter or what Johnny Oates would look like, or Earl Weaver, or what
Bruce
that
Bochy's out there now.
Bruce Bochy's out there now, right?
Although
Yeah.
I think there's a decent chance he winds up back in San Francisco. It feels like the timing.
Really? Oh.
I mean, you know,
It
Buster
feels to me
Posey.
like he's done. It just felt feels to he
I
looked
don't.
tired as hell 2 years ago winning the World
And
Series.
well, I thought he looked tired 15 years ago. I think that's just his
And I know
countenance.
Bruce
I mean,
well. I mean, I've
hey,
known Bruce 30 years. I love Bruce.
a couple things. One, I'm in agreement with you on the Mancini. Let me be clear. I do think Tony Mancino grew into that role better than he showed in May and June. That said, I thought it was odd that he held court in the manner that he did. At the very least, because
If
at
John
first,
Harbaugh was out of contract, would they have a press conference in the day after his contract? Like, I just found it
it was just it was
really.
odd. And look, I'll say this, just in a vacuum, it's nice to hear another voice. You know, just when you're talking about players, like I asked him about Adley Rutschman. You know, like, what's the deal? Like, where is he at this point? All that.
He should know best.
So I think from that standpoint, it was kind of interesting. But yeah, just in terms of a big picture sense, from a branding sense, in a term, in terms of selling whatever you're trying to sell at the moment here at the end of September, going into October, and you're sitting at home rather than playing in the postseason, it was odd because I'm with you. Look, he's been told that he's under consideration. Mike Elias said that they're considering him, but they're also going to talk to other people. I kind of feel in these instances, and look, you saw this happen with what Kelly, he was the interim manager of the Pirates, or he's their manager now. If you don't know if a guy is your manager right now after he's been your interim for 4 months, then he shouldn't be your manager, right? I mean, it should be so overwhelmingly clear that, oh my gosh, we know this might not be perceived in the best way by the fans, but we think this guy is the next Earl Weaver, right? And I'm just saying Earl because it's local and the history of the franchise. So, you know, through looking at it through that lens, yeah, it was odd that he talked. It would have been very odd because at first when they put out the release, they said that it was those two talking at noon at the warehouse. And I was thinking, they're not putting these guys together. Like, we're not going to be asking questions about the manager with Mancino sitting right next to Elias. So they didn't do that. They at least separated them. So there wasn't that level of awkwardness. But yeah, it's still awkward. And, you know, I mean, I've said it. I think Tony is a perfectly fine baseball man in terms of, you know, whether he stays in the organization in another capacity or whether he goes, becomes the third base coach of the, I don't know, the San Diego Padres,
I don't think he did a
or
bad job, just,
yeah.
on the face
But
of it.
I think the optics, I mean, and this is, you know me, there are times where I'll push back against you talking about optics. This is one of those times where it does need to matter. There's no question. You can't have the season that the Orioles just had. Fired Brandon Hyde in May, fine. Go through a season. Play better, but even by Mike Elias's own admission, it's not as though they played so much better from June on that it was, you know, they were,
Dude,
they,
nobody hit the ball.
you know, they,
Nobody hit the
but they,
ball.
but they,
Nobody.
but they were better in the sense of they were so terrible the first 7 weeks. They had their stretch where they won 9 of 11, got themselves to like 11 under 500 on June 5th, which to me, that needed to be the jumping off point for them to start playing like a really legitimate contender, and they played for like a 500 team the rest of the way. So it wasn't horrendous, but certainly wasn't inspiring either. Certainly to your point with the offense. So with Mike Elias even acknowledging that much and saying, yeah, we played better over the last 4 months, but not that much better that you'd say, oh my goodness, that, you know, it's a shame because we were so great the last 3 months or anything like that. So from an optics standpoint, you go through that kind of a season. And then you're going to keep the interim manager, which presumably means what? You're probably retaining most of your coaching staff then because he's been part of this coaching staff over the last 4 years. You need to hire a different manager. And look, does that mean it's going to be Bruce Bochy? Does that mean it's going to be Bob Melvin? You know, guys that are recognizable, you know, to the average baseball
Well,
fan.
Bomel has a whole Baltimore
He do,
89,
he
nine,
does,
he was
but
here.
I would also say go look at his winning percentage in the postseason. I mean, he's won Manager of the Year a few times. I'm not saying it'd be a horrible hire. Do I think it's this major game changer. And then this is where we go back to, what are they doing with the roster, right? What are they doing with the rest of their coaching staff? What are they doing behind the scenes? Because we know in a modern baseball operations department and a front office, they truly run the show. The manager and the coaches, generally speaking, are kind of following orders. Now, that doesn't mean that coaches and managers have no value whatsoever, but it's certainly not the same value, the same job that it was 20 years ago, let alone 40 years ago, where, you had managers and GMs butting heads,
By
right?
the way, I ran into, I went to the Child's Play reunion show Saturday night. So it's a bunch of Dundalk people and my people, my age. And I was there and I got pulled up on by a guy who said to me, I'm Blankety Blank's brother. And he looked like Blankety Blank. And Blankety Blank spent 25 years in the Oriole organization and has had a few lunches with you and me to meet you over the course of time. And he was telling me that his brother's job as a longtime minor league manager and coach and roving scouting director and hands-on technician and thrower of BP to Brady Anderson back in the day, that how much the job has changed. Being a class A or double A manager or coach, and what headquarters sounds and looks like, as opposed to what it looked like from the Bowie Bay Sox 15 years ago.
It's changed a lot. So when I say that, that's not me saying the manager doesn't matter or the coaching staff doesn't matter. It does, because ultimately you still have to be teachers. You still have to be liaison in terms of taking information, applying it, helping players apply it, filtering what's important. And some players can process more information, others are more see ball, hit ball. And it's not quite that simplistic,
And
but you know what I
Manzolino
mean.
talked about the cheerleading
Shh.
part of
That's
like
part of
trying
it.
to provide confidence for young men that are struggling. And they were all struggling at this point. So, I mean, I really respected that part of
Sure.
Manzolino, the way he talked about Cal Ripken pulling him up and talking ball. I mean, Manzolino
Sure.
seems like a good ball guy. He's doesn't feel to me to be
No,
the leader of men or the projection you want. I don't mean winning the Johnny Bravo press conference. I'm just talking about I'm a ball guy. My name's Aparicio. You know what I mean? I've been doing this my whole life. As a media member, when I go in to sit and talk to him, what I'm getting out of that as the guy sitting here watching it on a screen, I've never met Tony Mancelino in my life. I'm not allowed to meet him. I don't smell good enough. I'm not white enough. I'm not tall enough. My hair's too long. I'm not allowed to meet these people. I only watch them on TV. And having done this professionally all my life, I watch it and say, I don't know. I'm just not impressed by it. I'm impressed by his baseball knowledge, but I think nice third base coach, nice whatever, roving scouting guy, minor triple A manager, whatever, but not the guy I'm putting in front of my $2 billion franchise.
Yeah,
That's all.
and I think
That's
that's
all.
fair. I think that's fair. And like I said, I think he became more comfortable in that role to the point where I'll say this. And look, I don't expect many people to even realize this, because there weren't a ton of reasons to watch the Orioles the last couple months other than Trevor Rogers Day and Kyle Bradish Day over the last month. But he became more critical of players, not in a demeaning way or a disrespectful way, but he would call it like it is. As far as, I mean, he flat out said multiple times over the last couple of weeks of the season, whether it's me or whoever the next manager is or whoever's in place, the number one objective of this organization is what I've been saying for months now, is you've got to get this young core back pointed in the right direction, and you need to exhaust every avenue you can to do that. So to bring it back to the here and now, as far as the manager job, the optics of it, you can't tell everyone you need to evolve and adapt in the way that Mike Elias said they need to evolve and adapt, and then keep the interim manager and run back most of the coaching staff. Because no matter what changes you're making behind the scenes in terms of your process with your hitting instruction and all that stuff, right? Stuff that's proprietary in the modern day, that even 40 years ago, I mean, they weren't going to tell you every single detail of how their philosophy and everything, because there's a competitive element to that, right? But those aren't the things that are going to be front facing. But what is front facing is the manager and is the coaching staff and whatever moves you make in terms of trades and signings and things of that nature. Yeah, to me, from an optic standpoint, because of attendance being down and fans being ticked, and this just not like the level of underperformance this year, I don't know how you do that without having more and more people just completely tune out,
It
which is the
looked
last
to
thing they
me
want.
like a poor franchise doing another poor thing on Monday. Like it just didn't show well. It and I
I
that's
mean,
just me.
I guess what did you want to hear Mike Elias say that truly, truly, realistically speaking, he would say that would make you feel better about the franchise? I just don't know what that answer is. I mean, you're welcome to say what it is. I
Well,
don't
I
know.
would have fired him when he fired the manager and hit for 4 days. So he would not have. Monday would have been Arrighetti, and who's really making the decisions? Arrighetti. Arrighetti, who's quiet and hiding and apparently more arrogant than all of them. And I shook his hand once, and I'm one for one on his arrogance. But these are the decision makers, dude. The people up there. Mike Elias isn't making decisions. He's making decisions based on the pocketbook of Arrighetti, because whatever the decision is, whatever Tyler O'Neill he's going to want to go and spend 80 or 100 or $200 million on, it's going to go back. I mean, I noticed where Cohen did the apology thing to the Mets or whatever. I don't know the right and the wrong way. I am a lifer baseball fan. I'm a lifer media member who's been boxed out by the old owner who's now dead. These people still have employed all of the creeps that worked there before. The place is empty. They're devoid of ideas other than Star Wars night. I mean, their television commercials were awful. Everything that I've seen and touched for a year and a half with these new people down to
So
bobblehead
what do you
night
want to see?
has
Like
been.
we I know this, Nestor. What do you want to see? No, I'm
I want to
asking.
see the owners out with a real plan and
Fair
taking
enough,
questions and
and that's
acting like
fine.
they're here because they're pretending to be local
Fair
and they're
enough.
not. They're pretending to care and they don't. Rubenstein got picketed by a bunch of groups on climate change because he's wrecking Alaska. He's involved in all of these awful he's a fraud of a man. I mean, Rubenstein. I mean, like that's pretty clear to me a year and a half into this. I thought you were getting this champion, this Magna Carta, this Baltimorean who was gonna get a guy that had money that doesn't like baseball that much and is now hiding from the whole operation because it doesn't it's not fixing his brand with a Whistler, you know. Yeah, last place, Dave. You might want to get in front of this. I mean, media doesn't want to hear from you anyway. The Citizens just gave you $600 million to take the Jim Henneman press box and put it in left field, and you've got the priority list now. So I'm getting their ads that are just full of shit. I mean, there's a list to give all this money to sit behind home plate. Come on, man. Come on, man. You're all from out of town. You don't know your head from your ass. You don't know where you're from. You don't know what leaders, you don't know what any of this, you don't even know the community. And the place is empty. Put some local people in front of it. Put something up that smells better than the old manager who wasn't very good and the general manager who ran from firing his manager for 4 days, 4 months ago, and looked disinterested in being there on Monday, looked like he wanted to get it over with, and now he can go into the laboratory and be quiet for a while, and he doesn't care about selling tickets. It's not Mike Elias's job. It's not any of their job to sell enthusiasm or tickets or the off season or hope or any of that, but somebody's got to sell it. Somebody's got to sell it. I don't know who it is. If they had a better PR director, if they had better marketing, if they had people that lived here in the offseason, if they had some sort of relative John Miller or Chuck Thompson or Jim Palmer or Brooks Rodman, if they had something, they have Cal Ripken. Great. Then make him really do something and put don't make him a figurehead in your TV commercials, which is all it feels like it is to me. So I feel like Elias is running the place, but every time I see him in front of me, it doesn't instill any confidence in me, Luke. And the more he talks, the less I believe. I mean, I'm just being frank with you.
I mean, I'm just everything you just mentioned, none of that selling tickets unless the baseball team's better. So, I mean,
But when I do tune in, let me come on the radio the next day and say, I feel the wind changing. I feel like maybe this is the time. I'm not going to bullshit my audience to make people happy. So
what
I
do you
don't get
want?
called names
Okay.
on the so
Okay.
like do I
Nestor.
believe in it or do I not believe in it? That's literally the only question that matters as I sit here and do this for the 34th year in a row with a team that has been traditionally disgraceful in everything they've touched this century for the most part. Like other than Buck Showalter and 5 minutes of Manny Machado and Chris Davis when he was on the right drugs and the things that they were doing in 12 and 14, other than that, and 2 years ago, I spend a lot of energy. I stop my day on Monday to watch it. If they would have let me in because I don't smell good enough, I'm not a part of their country, I would have gotten in my car and driven down there and parked and sat there and asked legitimate questions on behalf of the fan base. I'm not even allowed to do that. So all I do is watch it, and then I come on here and say what I really think of it. And what I really think of it is it's not very good.
Y'all know
None of
what you
it's
what
very
you
good.
think. You tell us every day. I mean, we
They're in
understand.
last place. They've had a half a
I
million people there.
understand.
Their games, I can't find them. The team disappears for 4 months. When they come back, they do a caravan for 5 minutes. They treat the media awful. They treat people awful. They don't. They're not a part of this. Who has Katie Griggs met? She's been here a year and a half. Rubenstein goes around with his little. You have to pay to get in. You have to pay $200 to hear him speak at lunch. Like it's just not good. It's just not good. That's it. That's it. It's not good.
Fair enough. And look, I'm not going to sit here and defend them. They had a bad season. But I also think these press conferences, everyone uses their priors to see it, view it through the lens they want. And I'll use John Harbaugh as an example on Monday, because all I've heard from a certain segment of fans is hold people accountable, hold people accountable. And then I heard them complain that he was throwing Todd Monken under the bus. I mean, some people just want to be ticked off,
Everybody
just
knows John doesn't
period.
call the plays.
Well,
You know
and
what I mean?
I'm
You've already sat here for
but
half an
my
hour and said the manager doesn't even matter because Elias is going to scream down what is going to happen anyway, and that's the way baseball works, right?
I guess,
So, yeah.
but this goes back to my look, you think Michael Elias should be gone?
That makes him even more important when he fires his manager and hides for 4 days. Dude, firing your manager on Saturday in Baltimore on Preakness
Nestor, we
Day and
talked about
hiding
this
till
4 months
Tuesday
ago. Like,
disqualifies you from anything I would call accountability or being a grown up,
then
being a
why'd you bother to
grown-ass
watch?
man,
But I guess
like
the question would be,
literally.
but then why'd you bother to watch then?
To see if it's changed. I did because I do this,
You're
dude.
not
If
answering,
I
but
didn't
you
do
had.
this professionally, I would never, I wouldn't watch baseball
I know
anymore.
you wouldn't.
I did
I mean,
literally, I wouldn't
that's a
because
Captain Obvious statement.
I watched it for 35 years, and I don't smell like it's a great hope or investment of my time anymore, and neither does anybody else, and that frightens me.
What? Michael Elias, short of him saying, I'm firing myself, what did you want to hear from him?
I just thought it
From
was
him.
bizarre they put Manzolino out when he's not going to be the manager. Like, I just thought the whole premise of that was just bizarre.
I know we I agree. I guess my point that I'm trying to make, and I keep asking, and you're ranting about things that I'm not saying are untrue, but what did you want to hear from, what did you go into that hoping to hear from Mike Elias that you didn't hear? And that's just my question. Like, I'm genuinely curious. I agree
I would
with a
ask
lot of
him
what
why
you're
he was
saying.
hiding for 4 days when he fired his manager, and what is the process of hiring a manager? What
Okay.
makes Manzolino smell good or like if that
I
really?
mean, he
And
was
then
at
where
the.
is the budget? Where's your owner? Where is the man who's writing the checks? Let's talk to him. Like where is the philosophy on this? And you know where are the targets? What he? You know the
Well,
thing he said that was interesting to me. Because you're asking, so I'm because I did
No, I
listen.
that's
He
fine. No, I'm genuinely curious.
said something about he loved their upper level pitching talent. We have guys that we feel like are going to be here next year. And I'm assuming he's talking about all the name salad, the word salad from the nine players they dealt off before the trading deadline. They picked up with 16 players. I mean, there's a lot of players, right? So I'm assuming of that group is appeal. He traded for them recently in the last 8 weeks, and they had 2 months to take him down the Gulf Coast League or do whatever they're going to do in the California Penal League or the Arizona Fall League or wherever they're sending people this winter. I would have pressed him a little bit more on one by one. Where are these guys you think are in the bullpen or going to be arms that are going to give me 20 to 70 innings next year for the Orioles? Identify a couple of those guys because he can't identify anything from out of the organization or free agency or any of that. But I probably would have drilled him down on more of the guys that I haven't heard from or even guys that may have pitched in the last couple of weeks that, quite frankly, I wasn't watching the game at 9:15 to see who they brought in the sixth inning against Tampa last week.
I'll
I
tell
see
you
the
the two.
names in the box scores, but like I'm like everybody else. I wasn't at the point where I was giving them 100
That's
hours of my time in September. I
and
just
that's
wasn't.
complete. That's completely justified given
Yes.
where they were in the standings.
Yeah.
So and all that. So I think I'm actually glad you brought that up because I hadn't. It wasn't at the forefront of my mind, but I actually had talked to someone else in the media, whose opinion of the farm system that I value. It's a little off the beaten path, and he made an interesting point in talking about this farm system. And part of the trade deadline is part of this, but not all of it. Because, as I have pointed out to you, the last couple drafts, while they weren't drafting a pitcher in the first round, if you look at the and remember I held up my notebook and we showed it on YouTube, all that, they had started to make more of an effort to draft pitching. And he made a point that it's interesting about this farm system. Like, they're not number one in baseball in the way they were a few years ago, but a few years ago, even when they had all these top 100 guys and guys that are in the majors now, and frankly, some of them disappointing at this point in time. But he made a point that they had a bunch of elite prospects, but they didn't have great depth in terms of, and I, th this isn't really a scouting term, but let's just say use a 5-point scale. Say you have a bunch of five star, like recruiting for basketball or
Sure.
college football. So they had a bunch of five star prospects, right? They didn't have as many fours and threes, and even throw like twos in there. They had a bunch of fives, but they had like a lot of ones and twos then. Like a lot of, it was a very top heavy system at that point in time. He did say, and look, I mean, obviously you're going to have to see how it plays out, and you never really know, right? I mean, Adley Rutschman at one point in time was drafted before Bobby Witt, right? I mean, the Orioles did that, so clearly that didn't work out, in the way that you don't know because player development's tricky, and sometimes you're
Well,
not going
Kobe
to.
Mayo was a five last year. Now he's like a three. You know what I mean? Some of these guys play themselves from. Adley Rutschman was a five. He's more like a three or four now. Like Gunnar Henderson was a four, who's now five, right? Jackson Holliday was always a five. He's still a five right now.
Dylan Beavers
Hauser
was the
was a five who kind of became a four, and
right, but
like
I'm
I don't.
just, but I guess I'm just trying to, because of the point you made, it feels like their system has gotten deeper in terms of like second and third tier prospects, which frankly, those are the guys you want to trade, right? You don't see very many truly elite prospects traded in the game anymore. You just don't. I mean, yes, it happens, but it happens. It's a much more, that's a rare event compared to how you viewed it 10 or
Well, you're
15
much
years
more
ago.
likely to do
Because
what
they're
the
valuable.
Royals did with the player we picked up 2 years ago who turned into fire, who was a five prospect who played his way into we'll give you away to the Orioles, and then all of a sudden became a player. You know, I mean, and that's where they are with Kerstad, Mayo, the failed prospects. I mean, even Rutschman at this point to say that potential is there. How do I get
I
that
mean,
Ryan
I think it's,
O'Hearn out of, how do I get Anthony Santander? How do I make you a better player by the time you're 28 or 29? I don't know. Rutschman's getting there. You know, some of these guys are getting there. Cowser, you know, some of these guys, I don't know if they're going to make that next step or not. But to your point, there's always a Chris Davis or a Ryan O'Hearn or somebody that comes out of, I don't want to say nowhere, but is a later bloomer. Is that fair? Say,
I
I
mean,
mean,
that happens all the time.
even with
Like,
Trevor
look,
Rogers right now.
I would push back on any notion that Kobe Mayo is a failed prospect at this point in time. But it's still TBD. He's still, we're talking about someone who hasn't had a full year of plate appearances in the major leagues. Now, that said, I think Kobe Mayo is tricky in the sense that I wonder if he profiles like a Chris Davis in the sense that Chris Davis really didn't truly figure it out until he was 25 or 26. And, if it were 2021, if you're going into the 2021 season, by all means, I'll give Kobe Mayo the first base job and the way that they gave Ryan Mountcastle the job that year. And that, you just say, hey, go play.
And they
Whereas,
thought at that point there would come a point where Mountcastle would hit a home run, 100 home runs over 3 or 4 years, right?
Oh,
Like
and
that there
hey,
would be that period of time where he would be a 26 to 35 home run guy, hit 265, draw, you know, like play
and he
good
kind of
first
was
base.
for 2 years, but then like it kind of piddled out, right? So, but I guess the overall point, because you brought it up, and I thought that was interesting too, as far as Elias talking about some of the pitching and the guys are talking about are not just guys that they acquired. In fact, I don't think it's that. I think it's more talking about, you look at, they have a, you'll like this, and let me make sure I have it in front of me right, because I want to have the, but Nestor Hermann, for example, who,
I already like him.
yeah, I mean, you're talking about someone who has a chance to be on the roster at some point next year. He's not, I'm not saying he's gonna be an ace or anything like that, but some of these guys, I mean, like Chase McDermott, we've seen him have a few starts. It hasn't gone very well for him at the major league level, but you know what they did this summer? They transitioned him to a bullpen role. We're going to see what that looks like. Now, that's not, let me be clear, that's not me saying Chase McDermott's going to be handed the eighth inning role on opening day. No, absolutely not. Is he going to be in the mix? You ask me, I'll answer. The two guys that I've identified from the bullpen over the last 2 months that I think will go to spring training have a having a legitimate chance to be part of the bullpen, albeit certainly not guys I look at to be, quote, your true high leverage guys, but Dietrich Enns and Cade Stroud. Go look at their numbers. They pitch pretty well. Cade Stroud, I think, got an interesting arm. The issue with him the last few years in the system and why he hadn't really progressed, to the degree where he became like any kind of a real prospect, wasn't enough of a strike thrower. He did pretty well in that department, over this last year or so, and it's kind of put him, painted him in a different light. So, they're going to have guys like that. They're going to have, and part of that, and part of what we talked about at the trade deadline is that is now inventory for you as well to go out and make some trades. And look, there's also, I think, the possibility, not even, might even be a likelihood that one of these names we've been mentioning from this group, this young core, it's not going to be Gunnar Henderson. I don't think it's, I don't think it's going to be Jordan Westberg. I don't think it's even going to be Adley Rutschman. Not this winter. Now, maybe next winter, that's a different conversation. Who knows? But, I've mentioned Kobe Mayo. I mentioned his development timeline, and does that really truly align with where the Orioles are right now? I still think Kobe Mayo is highly thought of around the league. I don't, by no means do I think he's a failed prospect. I think he's someone that could be
You
a,
are someone, and Elias is someone that believes he's going to hit 30 home runs over the next 3 years or has the chance to do that.
or at, or 2 years from now, he can really grow into that. Well, that could be the big piece, not the only piece you need to trade,
Well,
but
Santander grew into that.
that could be the big piece that goes and gets you a pitcher. I don't know, right? But when you have a greater inventory of not just these elite prospects that you want to hold on to, but you have some B prospect, some B plus and B and C plus prospects that blossom. Dylan Beavers was never an elite prospect. Don't you? I feel better about him than half their young core at this point in time, based on what I saw over these last 6 weeks. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't need to have a good spring training and look the part next April and May, but he looks like a guy who could be their leadoff hitter for the next 5 years. Who knows? But the
Well, a guy
point
that comes
is,
up for 8 weeks on a
developed.
really bad team and draws walks and hits 250,
He did a nice
that's better
job.
than most of the other 23-year-olds that have ever
Right.
come up, or
That's what was ref
21-year-olds in some cases.
that was heartening to me that they finally had a guy. Yeah. So, look, Mike Elias was never going to win that press conference. He's never really been a he talks a lot without saying much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the Yale in him.
Well, but that's a lot of executives because they're so afraid of giving anything away. But actions are going to speak louder than words for this entire organization all winter. It's going to start with a manager, and then we're going to see who they acquire. And come January and February, what's this roster look like? If it looks exactly the same or mostly the same, then no, I'm not going to be terribly encouraged. But, now's the time. As Elias said, it's time to evolve and adapt. Well, let's see it then. No, not just talking about it.
All right, nighty night to the Orioles. We're back on to Lamar, back on to injuries, back on to the Houston Texans, and back on to the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Wednesday, we're at Fadley's. Monday, we are at Costas. I'm wearing my State Fair shirt. I promise to get back to Catonsville as well. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Make sure you're checking out our tasting. It's brought to you by Curio Wellness and Farr & Daughter, as well as our injury reports. Very important this week. Brought to you by GBMC. And of course, you'll get that delivered on the WNST Tech Service. Brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He is Luke. You can find him at Baltimore Luke. You can find both of us at BaltimorePositive.com.